by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. I just want eternal life. I just want eternal life.
Living this world, trying to be different. Look, I swear it gets tempting. Y'all be like him. Please don't be like me. Y'all know what y'all sinners in this thing called life, but I may have y'all be. Time after time, day after day, I swear this flesh gets weak. Lord, I need your helping hand. Guide me through the things that I can't understand. Take me from a boy and make me to a man. I just wanna enter to your promised land. And I know that I can, and I know that I will. But my sin earned a bill that my pockets can't peel. So when the judgment is near, I will have no fear. No, you still near, no, you still care. That cross you bear, that blood you shed for my burdens, my Lord. Look, you left them down. You was there, said, put them on my tab. I got him, put them on my tab. You paid that price for me. I wasn't dead, I see. And that penalty was death. Stupid, is this on me? Lord, stupid, is this on me? Stupid, is this on me? Not cause how good I've been. You saved me in my sin. Work it won't get you in. Work it won't get you in.
I just want eternal life. I just want eternal life.
Stay on a mission, Justin, look, don't be afraid to be different. I know you're not perfect, my grace is sufficient. That's why I've given you purpose. To worship me, in spirit and in truth. I formed you in your mother's womb before the world ever knew you. Spend every day with me, you hurt, son, come pray to me. Not only when you need me, sometimes reach out and greet me. Believe in me, like I believe in you. I got your life in the palm of my hands. I promise to never harm you or leave you, betray you, forsake you. Every trial you go through was set up all just for your breakthrough. So walk by faith and not by sight. It's easier to walk in darkness when you know the light. So take flight, we on to a new life. Streets of gold, happiness, peace, filled with eternal life. If I take my time, would you still believe? It takes patience and faith to reap my promises.
Been through the fire, been through the flood. Done a lot of things that I'm so ashamed of. But I know you died to save my soul. So if that's what you want from me, then you get it without guarantee. Cause I just wanna see your face in that beautiful holy place. So if I can't see you now, I know I'll see you somehow. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight.
Welcome, family, to Man Up the Movement here live at the Now Network Studio. And this is where the foundation has been set. Yes, we are calling all men to join the discussion. Let's keep it real. Yes, I will. I'm making a declaration, a decree over my life that I will do better now. I'm ready to discover the truth, and I'm ready to discover the truth now. If you ever wonder what man up means, man up simply means now is my time to fight. See that personal charge. Number one, I take personal responsibility for my own life. I no longer rely on my personal abilities, but on God's complete guidance. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I am walking in purpose with God. I'm holding myself accountable. dedicated and committed to a life of constant change. I am no longer operating with a double mind. I am operating with the Christ characteristics that dwell in me. I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the borrower. I am called according to my purpose. I am God in me through Jesus Christ. So we welcome you tonight to Man at the Movement. And are we going to another level? And it's important for us men because one of the things that I know I struggled with forever was credit, was finances, was money. Yes, money was available because of the lifestyles, but money, the faster you got money, the quicker you spent it. And I didn't learn any principles about money. And some of our parents and some of the things that they knew was only to go to work, pay bills, and continue that. But to go to different levels in growth in financials, in our financial stewardship. That's what I good word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Our financial stewardship, that we are honorable to God. Remember, He's the source of our everything. Yes, I need Him in my confidence, in my courage, in my hope, in my belief, and in my faith. But I also have to have Him in my trust, that I trust in Him in everything. And finances has to be a number one thing. Tonight we are going to be blessed. I already have a whole new journal. I had two. I've been writing a couple of different books in one. I opened this journal up just for financial information. I want to challenge you tonight that if you don't have one, get a piece of paper without any other notes on it and start. This is my financial journal. That every time we have a financial meeting or broadcast here on the network, you are taking notes and you are challenging yourself to go higher, to know about the principles of finances. But without any further ado, we want to bring on board a brother that has already stepped up. And you know me, guys, I love someone who's ready to do the work and not so much waiting on the position or the offer, but to get, just start doing the work. I can work with you and I can get along with you when we're ready to do the work. But tonight we have a special in studio guest for Man of the Movement. Our Wednesday night Money Minute ambassador, Minister Simi Rashad. I want to welcome him to the boardroom this evening. Come on, you guys, put your hands together and welcome him tonight. What's up, my brother?
Hey, Pastor E, good evening. God bless you and God bless your listeners of the Now Network. I'm so excited to be here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. Well, it's a wonderful pleasure to be here once again. God bless you all, and I know that the Holy Spirit is moving here tonight. So those who have ears, let them hear, and I know that you tuned in to get yourself some new revelations, some new transformational things that will help us and allow us. I'm so excited that you're even having this format and have this platform because, man up, you know, whatever you call it, you're calling for the right people, the men. It starts with us.
And, that's right.
You know, if it starts with us where God has, you know, said that and ordained us to be the head of our households and to make us the priests of our households, it's hard to do that when we don't have all the right information to operate under and to be successful in it. And so finance plays such a big key in everyone's household. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, no matter where we are and where we start at, it's something that we can learn more and more of it to get better at it like anything else. And so I'm glad
that's right.
We're having this discussion to take some questions and to brainstorm with all these other great, mighty, powerful minds that are here as well to come to some better understanding. We all leave a little bit more enlightened than when we first came in and let our minds be stretched so after we leave, they'll never go back to the same place that they were at 4:58 this afternoon.
Well, we come here to leave here different than we came, change, rearrange, and transform by the renewing of our minds. So we're going to definitely have some new principles coming forth tonight, and we're going to this is an explosion of financial news, financial information, financial challenges here on the Now Network that we are just embracing like never before. This is an answer from God. But first, before we get into or allowing you to minister to us, because I know you have a word. I know you have some principles, and then we're going to come back later, open the lines up, and get some feedback. And I know I'm going to be taking notes. As I said, I challenge you, if you have another journal you were saving for something, get it now and decree on it, declare it that that is your financial journal, and you grow that thing, and you do not stay dormant. You cannot just write tonight and close it. You must continue to grow yourself in that. I challenge every listener tonight. But my next challenge is that this information is just not for you. This is not the time to be content and say, wow, oh, this is what I've been waiting on. Oh, I'm going to get this. No, this is the time you share with one person. Text them, message them, call them on three-way. Let them listen to you. Put your phone on speakerphone. I'm telling you, this is the kind of information that we have to get out there. Oh, no, we could look at the news and we could look at all the situation that's going on in our country, but we must become proactive believers. We must be ready for the battle before trying to fight. So I'm so grateful that Minister Rashad, and I know he's going to give his whole name and a little introduction to himself, but I'm so grateful that God has sent him as a prophet of finances that can share with us. I've already grown and been motivated to go to another level. I thought I was doing good. I'm not, I could do better. And that's one of our themes here on Man Up. I can do better now. But I challenge you to tell somebody about this broadcast. When I release this man of God and he releases the word and the principles that come from the word and the principles we can take with us to go forth in our finances, in our savings, in our investments, and in our businesses, it's vital that you get it to someone else. I dare you to tell three people now. I said one, tell three. Text somebody and tell them about this broadcast tonight as we listen. I want to pray, and then, man of God, I just want you to share a little bit about yourself, your background, who you are, the man. Then I want you to break it off and go into what the Lord has just given you freely to give. I can feel in the spirit that there is a word, but I know that word is going to build us up to a principle that we could come back and get to talk to one another about it. Open the lines up. Take notes tonight, guys. Let's get ready to really not just sit around dormant and say, oh, it was a good show. No, let's do something with this information. I'm challenging every listener live. I'm challenging every listener on the internet right now. I'm challenging every listener that will listen later on the archives to share this information, even if it's later, with someone else that they can get their lives together with their finances. So Heavenly Father God, we thank you tonight. We first of all thank you for obedience to follow your instructions, Lord, to thank you for the principles that you have put before us in your word, that we are to be good servants and good managers, that we are honoring you, Lord, with our finances, honoring you with our businesses, our jobs, our families, and completely, just as you have saved us completely, we give you completely. So we reach our hands and towards the man of God, that as you release through him the nuggets that will help us grow, the nuggets that will stretch us, the nuggets that will provoke us, the nuggets that will not leave us dormant, that we will have to go to another level. We thank you for him today, that you just strengthen him and speak to him as we submissively sit at your feet to receive. Have your mighty way in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray and all agreement said, amen. Man of God, share with us, and I'll come back. But I just want to let you go. I want to release you here to have your way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You need a song? You need a song? Want me to sing you a song? No, it's fine. Want me to get you fired up?
I think we're there. So we're just excited to be here today and ready to move in the word and move in the spirit of what God is releasing and sharing, and hoping that it's going to be beneficial to those that are here. And like you said, pass it on to somebody else. And, you know, we know that, God has a plan for us, and it begins with our thoughts. It begins with our decisions, and our decisions lead to the lives that we lead. You know, even serving Christ, you know, that's a decision that you consciously made on how you're going to govern and lead your life. And so finances does play a part in that. There's so many stories, so many scriptures, so many people that God has used in the Bible to illustrate that to us, that these things are available to us. These things are for us. They're not taboo. They're not anything to be ashamed about. And, you know, we are supposed to live that abundant life, that prosperous life, that good life. To cross over to that Jordan. We're supposed to be able to leave an inheritance for our children's children. But it does take steps. It does take time. You know, we can't get caught up in the microwave generation and the television. I call it a television because it's a vision sometimes that tells a lie to your vision. And so you can't get caught up on that, you know, we see these people on TV and it seems like they're overnight sensation. And it makes you as a man or as a woman frustrated. Like, you know, you're sitting there watching the program and you look at your mate or your significant other, like, how come we're not living that life? How come we're not have those things? How come we're not driving a car? How come we don't have that house? You know, that puts undue pressure. And we have to understand that's just TV. But here's the real world that we live in here and right now. And God's examples and God's word has definitely given us the power to move forward, to make decisions, and to uncover what's already been left there. And so today, some of those things that I want to share and talk about is utilizing the power of and understanding the power of your credit. You know, your credit plays such a critical role in you know, a lot of things that we function and do in this society that we have today with the governments and the ruling and all those other things, and it can work for you or against you. Now, I'm not an advocate of let's go run up our credit cards and have a good time and pay for it later and all those kind of things, but, you know, we live in America, and America is a capitalistic society, and so it's built on capital. And so if we're going to be here, you know, as in Rome, do as the Romans do, but, you know, we're going to be of the world but not in the world, they say, but we still have to figure out how do they function on this, because it's opening doors. It's allowing them to have what we call leverage, okay? Leverage is when I can put down $2, but that $2 will buy me $10 worth of service, goods, or some type of collateral. And so that has allowed a lot of them to be able to move forward and to be able to own and control. And that's the other thing that we have to start working towards if we're not doing that now, is ownership and control. And with that type of ownership and control of assets and things that we can get with these assets and these things that are accumulated and built up on, this allows us to move to that next level. So these assets are the things that are going to create income for you because, you know, no matter who you are, I think that we all need some type of income to take care of ourselves, whether that income is coming from your job, your business you have now, the government, you have a trust account or something already set up for yourself. You know, you need income because why you need income? You're going to need a place to stay. You need something to eat. You need to pay your tithes and offerings. Your children need to go to school. You need clothing. So it's almost like a basic necessity. So we're not talking about something that is abstract and something that's unreachable, but it's right here for us to reach in. And so what I would suggest, if you haven't done so already, please get a copy of your credit report. I know some people are very scared to see their credit cards. They already know what it's on. They already know what's on there, so they don't even want to see it. But we can't be like the ostrich and just put our head in the sand and think it's just going to go away by itself. I mean, it's not going to work that way. But, you know, God said don't fear anything. Right? The only thing you need to fear is fear the Lord. So don't even fear a credit report. Don't even fear what, you know, happened 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. There's a way to work those things out, get them repaired, move on, and rebuild it. You know, unfortunately, that system looks at us as a number. It doesn't really even know our name. Most is that you got a 500 score and it puts you in one category. You got a 600-something score and puts you in another category. You got a 700 score and puts you in a whole other different category. But I want to deploy you today to learn how to use that to your benefit and not to your detriment, okay? And so when we look at a lot of these massive buildings that have been built and these businesses that have started, a lot of times they have started it with the use of credit. And they're using their credit cards to buy and accumulate things in the marketplace that they can turn back around and now retail it to you. They're also using this where they can go to the bank because of their credit and get the loans that they need to buy and to accumulate the assets or the materials or the supplies they need to go ahead and now retail it to somewhere else. And they're retailing it locally. They're retailing it globally. And so when you start getting your credit together, it's going to open up so many doors to you. And so I don't care if it's a 400 score, 500 score, you know, every little thing that you're going to work on and take care of and get off, all it starts is with a plan. And so the first thing you want to write down is that, you know, wherever your score is at today, you know, tell yourself, I am going to have a 700, 750, 780 credit score, because you got to give your mind something to work on. You know, as the scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And it says, write the vision and make it plain. So writing it out is going to definitely release the possibility that I can do this. Now that I know that it's possible, now I just need to know how to take the steps. And there's all kinds of companies you can go to out there all over the internet and everywhere else and recommended by friends and family that can probably tell you somebody that knows how to do the credit, do the credit, do the credit. Well, here's three letters I want you to write down. FTC. F as in Frank, T as in Thomas, C as in Christ. Federal Trade Commissioner's Office. Okay. The Federal Trade Commissioner's Office has a listing of your rights as a consumer and as it pertains to your credit. And in there, they give the little subtitle quotes and laws on what a creditor can and cannot do, what a creditor can and cannot hold on your credit report. Do you know that after 7 years, all bad debt has to be released off your credit report? After 7 years. So we have some people sitting around with some bad debt on their credit report, and trust me, the credit agencies, you know, there's three major ones, there's TransUnion, TRW, and Experian, right? You probably heard about them or seen them and know about all three of those. They don't voluntarily take it off. They're just a holding agency, okay? Their job is just to hold the information that's reported by the retailers, whether it's Macy's or K Jewelers or your car dealership or whoever decides to subscribe to there. You know, they're just a holding agency, so when other people decide to give you credit, they can look and see how have you been paying somebody else. Okay, so the first thing I want you to do is write down, I'm going to have a 700 credit score. Now, give yourself time. Be patient. You know, the scripture says all the time that, you know, we got to learn how to wait on the Lord and patience is a virtue, et cetera. So you got to be patient. It's not going to happen overnight. Anybody that's come along and say, man, I can wipe this stuff for you for in 2 days and, you know, give me $300 and go around the corner and come back tomorrow, you know, I would be very leery on doing something like that, because 9 times out of 10, it doesn't last. And things that, you know, people trying to do things fast and take the quick way and the easy way, a lot of times it comes back to blow up on you. I've seen people do those kind of things, and then they want to get into a house real quick, and then 90 days later, the stuff pops back up on their report. So some people know how to fool. Some people know how to trick the system and wink the system and do those other little movements on the system. But there's sometimes consequences or repercussions that come with that. So, you know, to each his own, but I'm just saying, you know, I've seen too many of them come back after people have paid good money to get this quick fix, and then the quick fix doesn't last. But if you do it the right way and you take your time, then you don't have to worry about it coming back on, because once it's off, and it's going to stay off. And then you have – so with the credit bureau system, you have a right to challenge everything that's on your report. What do you have on your report? You have inquiries, supposedly. You have whatever creditor reported your history. You have collections on there. You may have old bills on there. You may have student loans on there. Every one of those items, according to the Federal Trade Commission, you can challenge that creditor that put it there. Now, sometimes you may have a creditor on there that's no longer in business. Now, the credit bureau agency, they have 30 days to respond. They're just the middleman. So they're the middleman and the creditors on the other side. So let's say that you had an account with Dell's Department Store back in 1988 or 89. Dell Department Store charged off your account and it's shown on the charge off on your account. It's still sticking there. And they're out of business. Now you write Dell's and you tell the credit bureau agency, I want you to investigate this. And there's a certain code that you have to use, and it's in there. When you go to the Federal Trade Commissioner's office and look up the Consumer Credit Act, Consumer Credit Act, the CCA, Consumer Credit Act, is going to give you those different quotes that you need to pull out to tie into your letter. So you're almost acting like your own self-attorney, you're representing yourself. And so this is the same thing back in the day, maybe 30 years ago. People used to go to an attorney, if some of you can remember. They used to go to an attorney and let an attorney do this. Attorneys used to get paid big-time money to fix your credit because why? They knew the law and they knew the codes. But now with the advent of the Internet and the library, you know, I remember back in the day, I used to just go to the library and look this stuff up before there was an Internet. But now you can go right on the Internet and look up the codes that say, how do they have to handle late payments? How do they have to handle charge-offs? How do they have to handle this? How long can they leave this on my report if I file bankruptcy? How soon can I get my inquiries taken off? So all of that's on there. And even though the credit bureaus try to give you a little statement that tells you, you know, your rights and what you can and can't do, you know, still go back and know where the law came from. Where did they get their information, okay? So don't let them be the final authority. Find out where they're getting their authority from, okay? Go to the higher up so you can find out what they're where they're getting it from, just in case they're wrong. Or just in case you don't like their answer, you can go back. You know, just like an attorney, you know, they say, is there any precedence on this case? Yeah, we have Harbor versus the Joe Johnson Academy back in 1865. And they have to look at it and say, yep, okay, this makes sense. All right, we're going to rule in the favor of the previous case because that's the way it is. So you want to know what your rights are. But once again, you want to know that you're going to have a 700, 800 score. And then you want to go back and start looking at everything that's on your report. Take your time. Don't be embarrassed about it. You know why? It's just the past. And it's just a number. It ain't who you are. It's what you was. Okay? So don't take it personal. Just take it as it's something that happened, and now I'm working on it. So the day that you decide to start working on it, that puts you in a whole other different category. That puts you in a whole other different position. That puts you in a whole other different mindset that, you know, I got the power now. See, as long as it's ruling over me, it's got the power. It's got the power. But once I stand up, once I start looking into it, once I start calling on it, once I start investigating, now I got the power because now I'm going after it. It ain't going after me. You know, and so we want to get past that part where our girlfriend always has to sign for it, our wife always has to sign for it, or my aunt got to come in and co-sign for me, and mama. No, we need to get past that and just get this thing fixed once and for all. If it takes you 12 months, if it takes you 2 years, you ain't got nothing but time anyway, God willing. You ain't got nothing but time. So let it run its course. Let it run its course. Because once you clean and get it fixed up, oh man, you feel like a new person. You feel like a transformed person because now you know you put in the work and you got the result. And now you can selectively go after what you want. You can selectively get better rates. Because, you know, a lot of times because they don't give this to us in school, you know, obviously we don't get MasterCard 101. We didn't get Visa 202. We didn't get car loans 303. We didn't get student loans 404 when we was in school. They didn't teach us that. So it's like the system was set up to trick us, so therefore we would be a victim of it because now that you have, you know, less than better credit, everything we buy on credit, they can charge us more for. So two guys going to the dealership, one walks out with 29% interest rate or 18% interest rate, and the other guy walks out with 2.5 or 5.5 or 3.5. You know, why am I paying three times or five times? Or you're a higher risk, they say. You're a higher risk. Why? Because of your credit, you know. And so if I take care of my credit, then I should be able to walk out with the same rate that he got, or I should even get a better rate if my rate is better, if my situation is better than his. Amen? All right? And so get the credit reports. And so you want to call all three of your credit bureaus, or you can go online and do it today. And each year, you're allowed to get one free copy of your credit report. All right? At no charge. If they're trying to charge you, you know, you let me know. But once again, that's part of the ruling of the Federal Trade Commissioners Act. You can look it up and say, under the Federal Trade Commissioners Act, I'm entitled to one copy of my credit report. Please send it to me. And they have to send it to you. And they're going to ask for maybe validation of your driver's license, make sure that you are who you say you are. So be prepared to give them some identification that they can work off of to send you a copy of your report. Now, realize when you send them asking for a copy of your report, they're going to update some information instantaneously on you. So whatever address you give them, that's the address they're going to now put on file for everybody else to see. This is his last known address. Okay, so you want to make sure you give them the right address that, you know, you want your mail going there, anything else that's pertaining to your credit and your job information that you want it to all be parallel together. So think before you send it to them that everything's going to match up on there. Okay, so what we want to do once you get that credit report, you want to see are there any inquiries on there that you don't recognize. Okay, because all of those little things have point systems to them. An inquiry can be like a minus five on your credit report or a minus two, you know, in terms of pulling your score down. Every time somebody pulls your credit report on what they call a hard pull, you know, that's taking your credit score down. If somebody wants to see your credit, you know, sometimes you can say, you know what, can I run it myself and I'll give you a copy of it or I'll show it to you? Because when you do it yourself, there's no inquiry points taken away from you. But if they do it at the dealership, you know, sometimes you got to recognize when you go into a car dealership and you're searching around for a car and you go into that one dealership is going to run that credit report. He's going to put the information in one time, but his system is set up on a parlay system that he's going to send it to five banks at one time. So he's going to send it to Nissan Credit. He's going to send it to the credit union. He's going to send it to Wells. He's going to send it to B of A. He's going to send it to Second Chance Credit. He's going to send it. So he sent it to five people to see who comes back with the best option and who wants to buy your deal. So they're all bidding for it. So now they're all going to run a report. So now you got five inquiries from that one stop you made. Then you go to the next stop and you do the same thing. He puts your information in, and now there's 10 on there. Then you go to one more before you make your final decision on which car should you get, and you let him run your stuff, and now he puts your stuff. Now you come home, you got 16, 18, 20 inquiries in one day, okay? So you want to be mindful of that. You want to ask. Okay, whenever you go into these retail, they say they're going to do something, don't be afraid to ask. I know sometimes we're so nervous, we're just praying to God, oh, I just want to get the car, I just want to get the jewelry account open, I just want to get the credit card, and you're praying so hard, I need you to think. I need you to think. Ask the question, which credit bureau are you using? Or is this only going to be one inquiry, or are you running multiple inquiries? See, they're going to look at you different when you ask a question because they realize you're not just some mule with a bit in your mouth and they can just pull you and take you anywhere, but you are this intelligent creature of God that they say, I got to recognize, I got to treat this person with a different type of respect because they know what they're doing. Or you walk in and you say, look, I know my credit score is 682 right now. You know, what do you think you can do for me if everything checks out the way I'm telling you it's going to check out? And then they can start telling you some numbers. But let's get back to the credit report and how important that is. So you want to look at your inquiries. If you see any inquiries that are not supposed to be there, you don't recognize the symbols that they use, the abbreviation of the name they use, you want to write that one down. And normally it's going to give you the name of the company when you either call back to the when you look at the last page of the credit report. Your last page of your credit report will show you, by law, they have to show you, who was that creditor that pulled your report, what is their address, and sometime the phone number will be there as well. So you don't have to do a whole lot of running around. Those two should correlate together. So if I look, I got 10 inquiries in 2017, then I should be able to see on the bottom of my credit report, my last page should show me who were those 17 people, what was their address, what is their full name, and sometimes what is their full address. So if I have a problem, I can go back to them and say, I never authorized you. And now they got to prove it. So how do they prove it? They need to show you the application. If they can't show you the application, they can't show you the inquiry, guess what? Then they got to take that off. They got to take that off, okay? Now, your inquiries are supposed to fall off after one full year of being there. So whatever inquiry you did on October 10th, 2016, October 10th, 2017, that inquiry should come off. So if you don't see it off, then you have a right to go back to the credit bureau once again and say, hey, look, you know, these three right here, they're over 1 year, and under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, this is a violation of my rights. I want this taken off. See, when you put in those keywords, this is a violation of my consumer rights. And it's right there in that consumer protection information I gave you earlier. All that wording is right there. You want to use the wording that's in there. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be an English school master. You just need to take the same words off the page and copy it onto the email, the correspondence, or the letter you send to them. Now, if you send them a letter, please make sure you send it certified, that they have to sign for it, and that you get a receipt that they got it. Therefore, when you send your follow-up letter and you don't hear from them, and like they always say, give them 6 to 8 weeks to respond. So if you don't hear from them like in 6 weeks, week seven, I'm sending my letter and I'm referencing my certified letter I sent you on October 10, 2017, and here's the certified letter number, blah, 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 blah. Here's my second inquiry about the same issue. So every time you send a letter to the credit bureau, they have 30 days to respond, 30 days by law. That's what the law says. And they have to go by the law. Otherwise, they will be fined and penalized by the Federal Trade Commissioner's office that they have to answer to. So you can get them in trouble with their boss, okay? And so they know that. And so that's why they tell you it's going to take you about 6 weeks to get back to you. So within that time, they're supposed to do an investigation. And in that investigation, they have to ask the creditor to prove that it's right. Now, some of these creditors have thousands of clients on their books. Some of them are short of staff. Some of them don't have all the sophistication. Some of the records are archived away somewhere. They don't want to be bothered with it. They don't want to go back and look for it. They just don't answer. They don't respond, and they just let it go. And the credit bureaus are sitting there with their arms folded, waiting. If they don't hear it, okay, I guess it's wrong. So they just take it off. So that's how things are removed from an inquiry standpoint. And then if there's any debt that's on your credit report, okay, you can challenge the debt. If it's an old medical bill from 5, 6, 7 years ago, if it's an old car note or something, and a lot of these companies come and go, a lot of these companies get merged in, you know, working in the financial service field, I've seen where, you know, car companies or finance companies get merged in together. One buys out the other, and a lot of times those books don't get transferred over. A lot of things are not consolidated right, and so reports are missing, and things are not up to speed and put away the right way. So when you inquire about that and say, look, you said that I didn't pay for this car back in 2001. Can you please provide me the details on when I stopped making the payments, et cetera, et cetera? Now you got to wait them 30 days. Now they got to go back and find it because they have to prove it to the credit bureau that it is accurate. It's all about accuracy, and you'll see that word a lot in the reports. It's about the accuracy because the credit bureau is supposed to hold accurate information. And so if it's not accurate, then they have to take it off. They say, well, we can't find it, or the numbers are wrong. You can say, I paid it off, and maybe they got the receipt. You don't have the receipt. Somebody's got the receipt. They need to show it to you, so you need to make them prove it to you that you owe the debt. You know, a collection agency may be on there, all right? How do you get rid of a collection agency? If the collection agency is still around, you can call the collection agency and bargain for pennies on the dollar. Okay, because they just bought that debt from your car company that was charged off. You owed them $10,000. They bought it from the car company for $3,500, hoping now to start calling you for the next 12 months, 24 months to try to get the money back on that bad debt. But now the car company charged it off. If they charged it off, guess what they did? They wrote it off their taxes. So why do you still owe them if they wrote it off their taxes, right? But the collection agency now, they took it upon themselves to go – and now buy it from them, pick up the debt, and now reduce it to get it, try to collect from you now. So once again, it still has that 7-year window on it. So if it's been 7 years, then you have the right to tell the credit bureau agency, you know, because this, you know, if you look in the Bible, and I can't find it right now off the top of my head, there's something in it about the forgiveness of debt. Okay, maybe somebody will find it between now and the time we get off the line. But there's a scripture in there about the forgiveness of debt. And it says that, I believe it's 7 years that you have to collect on the debt. Otherwise, you should forgive your brother for the debt, okay? Because all of these codes and laws, and it's somewhere back in the Old Testament, because all these rules that we see that we're using a lot today, you know, this is where they came from. A lot of them come right from, you know, the Bible, when they were setting things up and getting things in order with the statutes and so forth. So how do you, you know, get a brother to forgive another brother? You know, if he's been in debt to me for 7 years, it says that we should give them relief and let him go. And so these creditors know these rules, they know these answers, and that's why, you know, they use it to their advantage to hold us on. But if you know what they know, then it's a fair fight, amen? And so you want to go back and find out when was is the last time that it was put on, that it was the last time the last payment was made. See, they might have just called you yesterday, but if it's been 8 years, it's past the seven. They're supposed to let it go. But you got to go back into the Federal Trade Commission's information, find that particular act, find that particular citing, quote it in there, and send it off electronically or by mail. If you do the mail, certify to the creditor under the Fair Credit Act, Act number 22-1511. This debt is more than 7 years old, and I demand, as Pastor said earlier, I demand you take it off my credit report. And now they have to deal with it. And a lot of times those creditors are gone, they've moved on, and it's the law. And so it's going to come back in your favor. They just dropped it. They just took it off. And you say, amen. And you just give yourself a little high five. Hey, man, woo, I got two off now. I got off three inquiries, and I got off two charge accounts or two old accounts, okay? And so this is how you start working on it to get it where the score is going to start going up, all right? Keep mindful of how many inquiries are going on your credit report each year, okay? You know, you don't want to be overloaded where you have 12, 14, 15 trying to get it from everywhere, because that's what the credit bureau is looking at. You may have had a 700 score, but it'll go down so fast because everybody's pulling your credit report that those inquiries are hurting your score. not that you ain't paying your bills, it's just that the inquiry, they can say, well, wait 2 or 3 months and your score will go back up. But you just hurt yourself because you put in all those inquiries. You know, even if you're applying for an apartment, you know, apartment complex, and you're trying to get in, you know, ask them how many people are they going to send this off to, and try to have a copy of that report even before you go looking for the apartment, so you can at least let them know before you even walk into, hey, this is my situation, and what can we do here to work things out? I'll pay a little bit more by deposit or whatever, but, you know, I was being upfront with you. My credit is at 585, it's at 625 or whatever, and I looked in the paper. You said you only take people at a 650 and better. But, you know, so you can give them the heads up and you can show them your report even before they run it. So they say, you know, do you think you can work with me? Because if they can't, no sense in them running the report and paying that $25 or $50 or $35 that a lot of them want you to pay only to come back to tell you no. Okay, so I know you might have been out on one of them Saturdays, you looked at three different apartment complexes, you're trying to get it, and you just went through $75, $100 just giving your money away with everybody saying no. When if you would have known the rules up front, known the game up front, then you would have avoided and saved yourself some money. So always ask those individuals going in, what score do you need to qualify? You don't know that. No, what is the debt-to-income ratio I need to have to qualify once again? You know, I need to know so I can know, you know, you need to make two times whatever the rent is here before I go in. So I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste their time. I'm not going to waste the inquiry on my credit report, okay? So the importance of the credit here is because it's going to allow you to leverage your way up, okay? So there's good debt and there's bad debt. The bad debt is like if we go out today and we buy a big plasma screen TV, a 55-inch, 60-inch, you know, Christmas coming up, and pastor's been telling everybody, hey, don't believe the hype, don't give in to the temptations, and no matter how much they say it's a Black Friday and all those stuff, come on down and get it, come on down and get it. And then, you know, even when you're checking out at the counter, see, this is how slick they are. You're checking out a Walmart, and they be saying, would you like to apply for a Walmart credit card? See, everybody, most of these people, most of these retailers, even the ones that don't even celebrate Christmas, okay? Walmart, you know, their family does not celebrate Christmas like we do, you know, because they're Jewish, all right? No disrespect, but that's not their holiday. That's their holiday for making money, okay, off of us if they could. But I'm thank God for Pastor and his message. I know we're not falling for it. But anyway, they're offering you a card. Or sometimes you go into Nordstrom's and the other big department stores. Macy's back in the day used to have it. You know, as soon as you walk in, they got somebody right there at the front. Would you like to apply for a Macy's credit card today and get 10% off? And, you know, you're just feeling yourself, you know, you're feeling good. Hey, why not? Let me go ahead and do that. You know, and you don't think about that. They're charging you 24% on that money. 24% on that money. And so it's easy to get, but then it's difficult sometimes to deal with if you're not dealing with it the right way. So that's getting credit for the wrong reasons and using it the wrong ways. You know, if you have to use your credit cards every other week to buy groceries and buy gas, then that something we got to fix something in the income. Okay? You can't live off your credit cards because one day they may try to take it from you. One day you're going to be maxed out. Then what you going to do? So, you know, you're setting yourself up to be in quicksand. So we have to start moving in a different direction. So therefore, you know, we're not falling prey to what they want us to do. See, they already sitting up there in the ivory towers looking down. They're looking down. They say, this group of people, these people right here, these people right here, oh, we're going to make a killing on them. We know that they're nothing but consumers. We know they're emotional. We know we just could play a certain song, get a certain athlete to run with it, or get some actor to show up a couple of times on this thing, and they are going for it, hook, line, and sinker. But once again, we got to be the intelligent, the wise people that God made us. We got to question. We got to think. We're not just going to rush into making these decisions. No, we're going to sit back and take our time and see how this is going to affect my income. How is this going to affect my weekly run? How is this going to affect my family? How is this going to affect my credit? Is this going to work for me or against me? Or how can I make this work for me and not against me? Now, if I'm getting a TV from Walmart for $2.99 and I'm putting it on my credit card, but I got some people over in Kingston, Jamaica, my cousins over there, and they say, hey, man, send it over here for $5.99. I'm making $300 on each transaction, so it may not be such a bad deal because now I'm going to go back, pay up to $200, and keep the $300 in my pocket, minus shipping and handling, okay? So at that point, my credit, using credit like that is good, you know. But if I'm using it to buy the TV, and now when you really do the math, it's going to take me 5.5 years to pay off a $2.99 television at $25 a month, you know, don't get fooled when you see that Finger Hut booklet come in the mail. No disrespect to Finger Hut. I love them, great company. But don't get fooled that, oh, I need to get this appliance, I need to get this, oh, it's only $6, only $7, only $8, and Rent-A-Center got me. I mean, I remember the day. I remember the day many years ago, I had my whole house furnished with Rent-A-Center. You know Rent-A-Center? My couch was $7. My washer and dryer was $3 here and $3 there. My little computer was $7 for this and $10 for that. I mean, I was spending like probably $60 a week on rented furniture. I know I ain't alone out there. Come on now, dude. Somebody else help me. I know I ain't alone that was renting furniture. I mean, they set these things up strategically right in our community. A Rent-A-Center. Now, if I can't afford a couch, damn it, I need to be sitting on the floor until I can save to buy one. Why would I spend $60 a week, that's $240 a month, for a couch and a computer and all? Because I wanted it so fast. I was so young. I just wanted it so fast. But I didn't think. I wasn't thinking about the math that they said, well, you know, Mr. Rashad, if you take it, you know, you could pay it off in 3 years. You know, in 3 years, I would have paid for it five times over, minimum three. So the same little thing that I could have taken my time and saved for, worked a little double shift to get, I needed it now. You know, I need to look good now in case my friends come over. I want to look good now. I can't be sitting around with no furniture. I ain't got no dinette table. I don't have no couch, no chair. You know, I was in my madness thinking this is the way to get it. Get it quick. No credit. You know, they say no credit checks. Come on in. That's true. That's the problem. No credit checks. But at the end of the day, you're going to pay three times more than what it would have cost you if you'd have just took your time and showed a little restraint, showed a little bit of discipline, and worked. You know, that's the way grandma used to do, great grandma, probably a grandma today, it ain't that same grandma, probably great grandma for some of you out there. That's the way she got it, right? She put her stuff on layaway. She put her stuff where, honey, it's February right now, but I'm gonna be back in December for this sugar. And she put her little $2 a week down on her stuff, right? So when grandma got it, it was her couch, right? Amen? It was her couch. It was her nightstand. It was her lamp. But not Rashad. No, I had to have the lamp, the nightstand. I had to have the TV, the bedroom. I mean, the whole house was furnished with Rent-A-Center. And then the day you missed that payment, man, them people were like wolves. They'd be knocking on that door so hard, you'd be trying to turn off the light like you ain't even home. Now, that ain't no way to live, is it? Come on. I know I know it. That is no way to live when you hide it from Rent-A-Center. Good God. You hide it from Rent-A-Center. Oh, wow, those are some dark days back then. I know, hiding from Rent-A-Center. They beat on the door, and, you know, the truck would just be sitting out there. You wouldn't even leave. So we had to find another way to take our time, to use the strategic way to make it happen. So that's bad debt. The good debt is when I can leverage where I'm going to take and put down $10,000 but buy a $100,000 piece of property. And now this property is going up in value. This business is going up in value, and I can pay it off with monthly payments now. But as I make payments, it's making me money. See, if it ain't making me no money, it's not a good debt, you know. And so I gotta learn those restraints and not go get it right away. I gotta wait and think. You know, I used to tell myself, you know, you need to put your credit cards on ice. Put them in a plastic bag. And then for some of you impulse spenders, put those credit cards in a plastic bag, seal it up tight, put it in a bowl, put some water in there, and then put it in the freezer. Why is that? Because now when you need to use that credit card, you have to take it out and let the ice melt. But I know some of you are brainchilds out there, so you probably just throw it right in the microwave and defrost it in less than 1 minute. But just sitting there thinking, you know, say, do I really need this? Do I really want this? I can wait. Okay. But getting that credit taken care of, you know, you have the power. And once you have the power, it gives you the motivation. It gives you the inspiration to start working on these things little at a time. Take care of this one little creditor. Take care of that one little creditor. You know, you can call them and make arrangements. If you still fairly owe them and they're still around, you know, you can say, you know what, I owed you $500. Will you accept $75 to call it a day and close this case out? A lot of times they'll say yes. Start at the bottom. Learn to negotiate with these creditors. They'll say, okay, you know what? We've been chasing you and chasing you and chasing you. We'll take the 75. When can you pay? And say, well, are you give me till next Tuesday, and I'll send it over there. But before you send the money, make sure you send them a letter by email or fax that they signed off on it, that once you pay this money, the account is closed, and it will no longer be reflected on your credit report. So you got to get that agreement. Otherwise, you know, it's going to still look ugly at the end of the day. So they're either going to take it off or they're going to show paid and satisfied. As long as it shows paid and satisfied, that becomes like a zero entry on your credit report. The credit bureau agency no longer holds it against you because it's paid and satisfied. But if it's still open, now that's like a negative 10 or negative 15 on your credit report. But as long as it says paid and satisfied, now you're in good shape. I know sometimes women have a baby or a family has a baby, excuse me, and then, you know, you get stuck with that medical bill because you didn't have the right insurance, and now you got that old bill from 7 years ago, 6 years ago, that's still lingering out there. You know, that's one of those bills you can call and ask to have either a payment arrangement or take a settlement. So please write that word down. Ask my creditors to take a settlement. And when you do, make sure you get it in writing before you send them the money. And you send them the money, once again, by certified mail, and with a certified check, certified on bank money check, so you have a copy of it in case you have to send that back to the credit bureau. I paid it on this day, paid it on that day. Now, if you have something that you know you paid and it's not accurate, once again, on your credit report, you have the power, once again, to send it off to the credit bureau agency. Now, when you send it to the credit bureau agency, realize because there's three, you have to send it to each one that is showing on. See, sometimes TransUnion, if you have 15 items on your credit report, TransUnion may only show 10. Experian may show all 15. Equifax may only show 7 of them. So that's why you have to look at all three and address them separately, because just because you took care of it on one report doesn't mean it's going to take care of the other four. You got to address each one separately, but you can use the same story, okay? And so be sure to keep that in mind, that sending it to one doesn't take care of all three. You know, they have to go individually. Now, it's going to take some time, but I would just give this to myself as a homework assignment. Every Saturday, I'm going to knock out one of my creditors. Every Saturday. I know you're busy Monday through Friday probably, or some of you, you know, you may have some time after work, but it's going to take a little work. You can go right online. You can open up the website and look at all the laws and citations that you can use when writing the credit bureau and use those words. And when they see those words, they know that you know you're right. And if they don't do what they're supposed to do, then you have the power to report them to the Federal Trade Commissioner's office. And the Federal Trade Commissioner's office will now go after them, and they can fine them up to $10,000, $20,000 per occurrence that they're caught wrong on. And so they don't want to pay no fines, so they will quickly take it off or agree or come back and say, you know, the creditor says that you still owe them, or da-da-da-da. So you have to go back to the second stage of the argument. So sometimes they will come back and say that it's still halfway right or something or another. But make sure on a lot of these things, get the creditor. This is how you get them in the loop. Get them to send you. Send me my original agreement. I don't even remember signing up for this. I don't remember signing up for this health club. Can you please send me the original contract? Can you please send me the original agreement when I got the jewelry store account? You know, so you want to challenge them to send the proof that I missed all my payments. So show me the proof that I missed all my payments. Now they have the 30-day window once again to go get that report. And because they're dealing with, you know, 100,000 clients or 50,000 clients or whatever the number may be, they don't have time to run that stuff all down, or the clients, the files on a microfiche, or it's on some other type of floppy disk, or now it's on the internet. I mean, it's on the cloud, and, you know, it's sometimes they get scattered all over. They don't even know where to begin because it's been so far back that they just say, you know what, he's one. I'm going to let him get through. But the other 200,000 people, we're going to continue to chase them. But him, I'm going to let her get through. So be sure to challenge them and when you write them, and watch the results. Watch the results. You'll see that month by month, or every 2 months, or every 90 days, you see your score going up. One place that you can go to get your credit report very quickly, just to see what it looks like, no charge, and it's not going to be 100% accurate. They may not have everything, but it's going to be close enough where you can just get a starting point somewhere. You just need a starting point. Go to creditkarma.com. Credit and Karma spelled with a K, karma.com, creditkarma.com. And they will give you a copy of your credit report for free. There's no monthly fee. There's no maintenance fee. There's none of these other little bow wow fees. And they'll also give you recommendations on what you can do to improve your credit score. So they're like a courtesy service. And then from there, you can go directly to, as you should, all three of the credit bureau agencies. And as you've seen now on TV over the last month or so, that there's been different hackers hacking into the credit bureau agency. So a lot of things are in major disarray. So if there's ever a time to get your credit fixed, this is it. Who knows? It might be your credit file that was lost. And they said, look, we just have to start you at 800. I don't know what happened to it, but, you know, a lot of stuff is lost and wiped off and gone or whatever. And, you know, who knows that the hand of God might have been working in it. I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen because of the disarray that those organizations are in right now. And so this is the right time before the year ends so you can get a fresh start going into January. Start looking at your credit report and get the power over it that you need. And then look at what ways can I use my credit to make me money. You know, if I'm in the import and exporting business, I'm in the wholesale and retail business, I'm buying things from China. I found something on the internet. I can buy from China, and I can get a box of them in here. They may be sheets. They may be towels. They may be socks. They may be some novelty that kids like to play with. And I can bring it in here for $500, but by the time I retail it to everybody that I know through the internet and created my own little website, I made $1,500, okay? And it took me 60 days. And during those 60 days, I made the minimum monthly payment on my credit card. I paid the $35 the month first month, paid the $35 the second month, and by the third month come along, I got the $1,500. I'll go back and pay off the $500. See, when you do that, now the credit company that you have, whether it's Citibank, Wells, they're impressed. They're going to be calling you to raise your limit. They're going to even send you an automatic. You know, you've been such a great client paying stuff off in 60 days and 30 days, 60 days and 30 days, 60 days and 30 days. They want to raise your limit automatically. They're going to give you a $500 or $1,000 bump. Now, here's the other thing you can do with these creditors. You can go back. I don't care which credit card you have. I would take all seven of them, all eight of them out of my wallet and go call them on the 800 number on the back and say, look, is there any way I'm looking at some other credit card offers? They have better rates. Can you lower my rate? Because you may have to still continue to pay on them, but you can always go back and ask them to lower your rate. They're a business, and this business wants to keep your business, okay? Remember, you're a business to a business, too. So it's B2B. You ever heard that expression out there, B2B? You're a B2B, too. You're a business to a business or a business to a consumer, but think of yourself as a business to a business. All right, because you are the CEO of your company, so that is a business. And ask them, look, I'm at 12%. Can you guys do anything better for me? And just have some fun with it. What's the worst they can do? What's the worst they can say? No. They say, you know what, you've been a good client of ours a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Okay, we'll take you down to 8.5. Bam. Took you down to 8.5. Can I get a credit line increase? Yeah, I can get an increase. I'm just going to hold it. I'm not going to use it. I just need to hold it. Don't use it, but just hold it. This is how you start to build up your power because you have these lines of credit that when it's time to execute, you can now go pull this money down for a wholesale purchase or something you're going to acquire that's going to make you money. Okay, the Red Lobster dinner is not going to make me money. Taking a trip to New York to go shopping for a weekend is not going to make me money. Okay, unless I'm going there to buy a block of T-shirts that I'm bringing back that only found in New York. And I used to have some partners in D.C. that used to do that. They used to take their money, put it together, and they used to drive 4 hours up to New York, and they took their credit cards and bought men's suits. And they would spend about $2,000 up there, and then they would come back, and they would make about $8,000 off of selling the suits. Okay, so that was – they leveraged. They were in college. They were thinking about ways to make money. And so this is their way. They would get the money. They would take their credit cards, go up to New York, buy the suits, come on back, sell them. And, you know, they spent $2,000 on the suit. They made $8,000. So they made $6,000 in the middle. Not bad for costumes. So it's just a matter of thinking. You know, you may get a truck that you're renting on the weekends from U-Haul with your credit card, okay? And then you may have an ad in Craigslist paper saying that you'll pick people's stuff up or you'll move their furniture, whatever it may be, to get your little hustle on to make your money and then pay back off the credit card. Okay, so ask for a reduction on your interest rate. Don't be afraid. The most they can say is no, okay? But it's okay to go from 18 down to 14, from 14 down to 10, from 10 to 5 or 5 to 3. You know, they have the power to do that, okay? Ask for your credit line increases with them, okay? Not that I'm going to use it. I just want to know that I can get it up higher because when I'm going for my bigger purchase to buy a business or buy some real estate, sometimes they're going to ask and look on your credit report, what's the largest amount of credit you've ever been given? Sometimes outside of a car, okay? And then the other thing is when you're looking at your car, how fast can you pay your car off? You know, sometimes people talk about speeding up the time frame on paying off your house. You know, look at the same thing with your car. You know, can you pay it off sooner? You know, so if your car payment is, you know, I've seen payments now, don't be fooled at these car companies now, they know. They're taking your old car, rolling it in with the new car so you can just be driving again, and, you know, you think you're getting a deal, but now I'm paying for two cars at one time in one note. They say, wow, you still owe $20,000 on the Explorer, but you want the new Explorer, which is $40,000. So I tell you, we're going to give you a $60,000 loan. You qualify for it, and you've got your chest all out. You smile, you qualify for $60,000. We're going to give you 7 years to pay on it. Now, I'm going to ask you, brothers and sisters, when you buy that brand-new Explorer and you drive it off the lot, and it was $40,000, you drive it off the lot, and you come back in a month, will they give you $60,000 for that vehicle? I mean, will they give you $40,000 for it? No. And, I mean, it probably wasn't even really – and if $40,000 was the retail cost, that's before all the interest gets in there. So you ever look at – I know a lot of times people only want to look at that statement. They just want the keys, the air freshener, and the free gas fill-up, but they don't really look at that contract. If that 6 or 7 year financing, wow, that car is going to cost you almost two times. So that $40,000 vehicle is now – when you pay off, it's going to be – you put $75,000 into a car, into a truck. $75,000, that's not making you no money. Now, if it was a dump truck that was making you money, I'd understand. If it was a grocery store truck delivering food for you, I'd understand. But if it's just something to get the kids back and forth to school and get you back and forth to work, I mean, there's a better way to go, okay? Get you an asset that's going to pay for that liability. Go find some business. Go find a vehicle. Go find a property that you can get that has cash flow coming off of it to make the payment for yourself on that. But don't do it out of your pocket. If you got to keep paying the car payment out of your pocket, then, you know, you need to rethink your thought. And if you think about buying a car, I would say take the car payment that you think you can afford. Because the car salesman always says, or the finance manager always says, how much can you afford? You know, so they're setting you up right there. They always want to know how much can you afford, and then they try to fit you into the car based on how much you can afford. So if you say, I can afford $400 a month, I want you to think to yourself, if you're not desperate for that car, can you save $400 a month for the next 1 to 2 years? You know, can you save that? Can you save that for the next 1 to 2 years? I mean, just don't take your income tax check plus the little money you got now and put it all together and go buy that car on something that's going down. Like, can you wait? Can you go maybe to the auction, the car auction? Go to the car auction, all right, and buy one or two vehicles that you can flip and turn over. You paid $2,000 for the car. You sold it for $5,000. You made $3,000 on this part. You did it again. You made another $3,000. So now you done built up almost $10,000. So now when you go to buy the car, now you're not buying it just with, you know, first, last, and a little bit down or something. Now you almost paid almost 40% of the car value off already. Okay, so you want to go in a lot stronger, you know, or pay all cash on something, because most people tell you, most rich people that I know, they say, you know what, Rashad, I buy most of my cars used. I don't want to buy. I'll buy like when it's 2 years old or 3 years old maybe. I don't want to buy it because I know how much value that car is going to lose, you know, when I buy it right away off the lot. So if I want the latest Jaguar, Mercedes-Benz or something like that, I'm not going to go to Fletcher Jones and get the 2017 or 2018. No, I'm going to go get the 2016. I'm going to let somebody else get that depreciate. I'm going to let somebody else take off the depreciation on it first, and then I'll get it, you know. So therefore, I'm getting more value out of my money than buying retail, you know. As soon as it came out, I had that latest model, and now it's cost me three times as more. So once again, I just want you to think more. Think more, because the more you think about it, the more you're going to be able to control the destiny of your credit, the destiny of your finances, and the destiny of how you're going to set things up. You know, in too many of the households, you know, we see where, and I'm talking to my men, my brothers out there. I'm talking to my brothers out here for a moment. Ladies, excuse me for a second. The women are controlling the finances of the house. Now, I know we're partners and everything, and it's okay. Maybe the bad word is control, but they make most of the financial decisions. I mean, I remember even selling insurance back in the day when I would sit at the table and, you know, we made the presentation and everything. The husband looked at the wife looked at the husband looked at the wife, and then, what do you think, honey? It seemed like a good deal. Okay, we'll do it. What do you think, honey? Should we get the washer and dryer? Yeah, okay. So, okay, we do. So he's always deferring to her when it comes to what should we do. She should be deferring to him because he's supposed to be the head. If he's there, he's supposed to be the head. He should be making the decision. She should be asking him, honey, what do you think we should do? All right? So we have to get comfortable getting back in that seat. And the only way we're going to do is that we know what's going on with the finances. You know, just don't get a little allowance and say, honey, take care of the power bill, take care of the gas bill, take care of the light bill, take care of my lunch money, take care of the gas, and, you know, that's it. No, you need to stay in communication to what's going on. So therefore, you know, if she happens to go, let's say she got an assignment to go to New York or go to another country for 4 months, how are you going to handle the bills? if she's the know-it-all, if she's the guru. Okay, so you got to share that responsibility and just sit there and start learning. You know, I know for us sometimes as men, we don't want to humble ourselves. But it's not a bad thing to humble yourself with that. I mean, that's a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of intelligence. So here's a book I'm going to ask you to get. Some of you have it, some of you don't have it, and maybe you read it, but you didn't read it right the first time. So I'm going to give you two books to go get for yourself, men and women. This is two great books to help you on this road of rebuilding, reestablishing. Because, see, right now we're coming into an era. We're coming into a period. We're coming into a season right now where they're saying this is going to be the greatest wealth transformation period this country has ever seen. The world has ever seen. This is the greatest wealth transformation period we're going through. Why? Because so many of the people who came before us, two or three generations before us, are leaving. They're going, and they are leaving money behind. They're leaving buildings behind. They're leaving shopping centers behind. They're leaving apartment buildings behind. They're leaving wealth behind to their children and their children's children. And so if you don't know how to handle this, you know, they say a fool and his money will soon part if the two are lucky enough to get together in the first place. And a lot of times people always say, man, I had that money back in the day, boy. Man, if I would have known what I know today, it wouldn't be as tight on me now. But I was crazy. So we all do that. You know, they always say, which one comes first, money or wisdom? It's always the money that comes first, because after we lose it, then we get wisdom if we're smart. Okay? And so the second time or the third time around, now you want to make sure that you're paying attention. Pay attention to everything. You know, pay attention to everything. Read it. You know, just read some of your credit card statements. You know, I know it's boring, it looks crazy, but you need to know, because it's going to help you challenge this where you don't fear it anymore. You're not afraid of it. Yeah, it's a charge-off. Yeah, it's a bad debt, but I'm going to turn this thing around. Just give yourself time. And know that you have the power to write these companies and ask them to take it off your credit report. Because now when you go to get the lease for your office, you're opening up the new bakery, you're starting the new cookie store, you're starting the new ice cream stand, your credit ain't going to be an issue. You ain't got to go in there bowing your head, putting your hat in your hand, and crawling down on your knees, God forbid, begging somebody to let you in. You got a strong business plan, you got strong money in the bank, and you got strong credit to go for. The three things they look for is the three C's. They look for credit, character, and collateral. The three C's, credit, collateral, and the character. The character is you. The credit is, you know, what have you done in the past? And the collateral is, what are we using to hold until you pay us back? And if we can see where you've paid off these other things before and you've done that, and we just, you know, check that one right off the list. Let's just go over your plan now. Is your plan solid enough that it shows that there's going to be enough revenue coming in to support the amount of debt that you want? Now, I know a lot of times people have these big ideas. I want to go there and get a loan out here. What do you want to do? You know, they come to me, Rashad, you know, what do you want to do? They say, well, I want to start this new business. I want to open up this big, brand-new restaurant, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to put in the shopping center over there. I want to have the waterfalls over there. I want to have the tables over there, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, how much do you need? I need $1 million. Now, you're still working your 9-to-5. You don't have but $5,000 saved, but you want to, and you only got $5,000 saved, and you want $1 million loan. You see, most of the systems out there are not going to work like that if you go into a bank. Now, if you're borrowing it from friends, you're borrowing it from the outside investors world, okay, that might work. But you can't go to the bank and expect them to do that. They say, well, I bought a $40,000 car, but that's different because that's collateral. They could hold that. But see, with the business, they're not holding anything. You know, and so it's a different type of parameters or guidelines you have to go through for that. But the thing you want to think about when it comes to your credit, you have the power over it. You make the choices. You make the decisions. Look at the interest rates, okay? Get yourself to the point where you say, I'm not paying no double-digit interest rates no more. You know, do I have to finance this furniture or can I wait and save for it? I know they keep sending me the sales guide. They keep sending me the magazine. I keep getting these offers in the mail. You're pre-approved. Come on in. Come on in. Remember, it's a trap. It's a trap. They're playing on your emotions. They're playing on, you know, I know that you're weak right now and you want it so bad, you know, that you're not going to put forth the discipline to wait for it. You got to have it now. And so if it's not one of those things that I have to have right now, I'm going to slow down and wait and figure out a way to make the money to go get it. I know we want the TV, but give me 3 weeks and I'll get it. Give me 5 weeks and I'll get it. Give me 6 weeks, but don't take it away from other things that you know are important. You know, we was on the phone, you know, we talked about this all the time. Make sure you have your no-look account. okay? And we talk about this on our Wednesday class and our Wednesday session with Pastor on the Now Network, that, you know, that no-look account is that envelope that you have, that every day when you come home, you want to take something out of your wallet, your purse, and put it in the envelope and don't look, okay? And so that's so important, because you got to start building some cash flow, and you got to start building your mindset that you're a saver. You got to start building your mindset that I'm an investor. I'm a saver. I'm an investor. I'm a saver. And the only way it's going to take place is when you see yourself, when you can go back and see your money right there, that you see that it's stacking up. And so whoever you give all your money to, you're giving all your power to. So don't give away all your power. Don't give away all your power. And the way you do that is start, you know, if you got a $25 in your purse, your wallet, take $5 out and put it in a no-look account and just leave the next day with the 20. You only got 20 in there, break that down and take $3, $4 out of that and leave the house with $16 or $15, okay? You'll get used to that. Make it fun. Make it fun. But just having the self-knowledge that you're putting away something for self, something for a rainy day, something for that – I don't even like to say a rainy day, because, you know, that's like almost – you know, we know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. I'm not calling on no rainy days for me, but I will be prepared, because, you know, just like Joseph in the Bible, same brother that was thrown in the well by his brothers out of jealousy because he seen a vision of where he was going to be at, and they didn't believe it and they didn't like it. He also had Pharaoh start saving for the famine that was coming. See, he already knew in the next 5 to 7 years there's going to be a famine coming through here, and so we need to be ready. We need to start storing up some food for the future, so therefore when it comes, we'll be able – we'll have plenty to go around. We'll be able to have – matter of fact, we'll have so much, we have enough to give away to other tribes and other cities that will be passing through here. So you want to think on that level as well, okay? So if you haven't read the story of Joseph in the Bible, I would suggest go back and read that story. There's a lot of good pointers in there about handling and being wise with money, being wise with money. And I said I'm going to give you two books, so let me give you those numbers, those names now, so because time is running short here, I see. The first one, I think that'll be very, very helpful. It's an old classic, old classic. It probably costs you $1.99 on Amazon. You can borrow that from one of your children if you need to. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. The Richest Man in Babylon by George C. Clason. The Richest Man in Babylon. Okay, that's about a 78-page book, but it talks about the importance of savings and how to do the 10-10-10 principle, learning how to eventually live on 70% of your income, 10% for tithes, 10% investing, and 10% for savings is the principle, and learning to live on 70% of your income. Now, right now, a lot of us are living on 101 or 105 or 110% of our income, amen? And so we want to start reducing that where we can live on 95% of our income. Then we can live on 90% of our income. Then we can live on 85% of our income. Then we can live on 80% of our income. So that's leaving more money for investments, more money for savings, and more money for our future. Okay? And so The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clason. And then the second book is Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. You can get them used on Amazon for less than $5, or if you want it brand new, it's going to probably run you about $8. You can go to the library and borrow it. All kinds of golden nugget principles that are in there, and it talks about the dynamics of being an investor, being a business owner, being an employee, and the differences, and what are assets and what are liabilities. Okay, how to do the balance sheet, how to set up a budget for yourself. And these are the things that we need to get used to doing in our own home. Learn how to start setting up these budgets. Learn how to start setting up a balance sheet so you can keep track, as we said last week on the message as well. You know, this month here, you know, take from October 10th through November 11th, keep track of everything you spend. Not that you're becoming some type of miser and putting things tight on you. No, we want to prosper. We want to live in abundance. We don't want to live under this scrutiny of tightness. But we want to live in control, and I can't control what I don't see. So I want you to get another envelope. You got your no-look, you got your envelope, and you wrote on there no-look. The second envelope is for my receipts for the month of October or the next 30 days. Just take every receipt, whether you go to the gas station, the donut shop, Starbucks, or $4, or you go to the movie theater, you pick up meat from the butcher, the Subway sandwich shop, went out to Ruby Tuesdays with somebody, you bought some new clothing, you got your nails done, you paid a tip at the nail shop, you went to the spa, you got a health club you belong to. keep track of everything you spend for 1 month. See if you can – see, that's discipline. See, it's discipline. It's two things you got. It's discipline and your philosophy that directs the force and the current of your life and how you handle your finances. It's a philosophy. Some people are like, I'll deal with it later. Other people say, there's no way. I got to deal with this now. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to pay on it. Even if, now, when it comes to your credit, one last thing I want to mention on that too. You may have a payment coming up and things are a little off balance for you for a moment. You don't have the whole payment. Don't miss the payment. If the payment is $50 a month and you only got 10, send them 10. Because guess what? The credit report only says 30, 60, 90 days late, right? 120 days late. But it doesn't say he only paid a half a payment. It doesn't say he only paid one-third of the payment. If you send that payment in and they take it, and they take it, they legally cannot report you late. The payment was 100. I sent them 25. Now, they can say, all right, we're going to charge you a late fee on top of the next one, and when you're going to get the $75, okay, I'll take care of it. But I paid 25, so you got to report me current for the month of October. You can't show me late. So if you're in a pinch and you need to make that payment and you're trying to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, God forbid, and you're trying to stretch things out, just pay them something. And if they take it, it preserves your rating. It preserves your rating. And then you'll deal with it in the next 2 to 3 weeks to catch up, take care of the difference, put it on the next payment or whatever. Or just ask them for some grace. If you run a little bit behind on your car note or whatever, ask them for some grace. Ask them, can they take this payment here this month and put it on the back of your contract? They'll do that. You know, if you've been making good payments, they see that you ran into a little hiccup right now, they'll put it on the back of your contract as opposed to letting it go on and on and on. And then, you know, you take the car and you got a repossession there, and now you know, you got another thing on your credit report you got to fight off in the next 5 to 7 years again. So ask for a forgiveness payment, a forbearance payment where they can put it on the back, And just explain your situation that you're going through. But I know that God is provider. God is using us to become abundant. God is giving you the wisdom to use money wisely. And God is giving you the wisdom to attract funding. And that's what I want you to write that down. God, I know you're giving me the wisdom to attract funding. Please write that down. Write the vision. God, give me the wisdom to attract funding into a great idea. So I can have surplus. So if we don't ask for it, then we won't get it. If we don't plant it in our mind, then how will it grow? It won't even know it's there, you know. So I know that God gave us the power to speak things into existence, right? That's how this whole world got it, by speaking it into existence. And so we have to speak those things that we want. We got to, as the scripture says, call those things that are not as though they are. Your credit score is 500. I am a 700 credit score person. I am wealthy. I am prosperous. I have more money coming in each month than I have bills. I got to call those things that are not as though they are, and they shall be. Okay? And so that is your mantra when you get up every day. Every time you look at something, you got to start calling those things that are not as though they are, and they shall be. And that gets you into the mindset. The mindset, it's all about the mindset of turning things around, gaining the power. There's nothing that has power over you except for God, and God has given you the power to get wealth. God has given you the power to turn things around. God has given you the power to get the information you need. God has given you the power to connect with the right people that can help open the door and give you the key. You know, the old saying is that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When the student is ready. So you got to be ready. I don't know if I'm the teacher. It may be another teacher out there that you're going to run into, but when you're ready, then the teacher will appear, and then you'll be able to get the lesson you need to move on. And as Pastor said, as you get this information and it works for you, you know, I pray that you go out there and share it with somebody else, starting your own household, and if they won't receive you, sometimes a prophet's not even welcomed in his own home, that's okay. Dust your feet off, dust the sand off, and keep it moving, and take your peace back, and go share it with somebody else that needs it and wants it. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You have hit. Oh, some nuggets over here. I'm getting messages all over the place. Like, he got so much information. I just make it 3 hours long. That's just so much information. I'm just so glad that we'll be able to continue this on Wednesday nights with our, and we call it a money minute. It's actually 15-20 minutes worth of knowledge every Wednesday evening, Well, we're starting tomorrow at 6 p.m. We're not thinking about people's Bible studies. We've already discussed it. The Holy Spirit drop. It will be 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time as the rest of our broadcast, 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern for the Now Network News at 6, 8, and 9. We will have that Money Minute. Ask the pastor and What's the Word with Minister Terry tomorrow night. But brother, man, you have dropped it. I've got like 10 pages because I want each one to have its own page and to be able to have its own, you know, get its own identity. But the power of your credit is dynamic because, you know, if we can just embrace power, that you know, power pushes, it flows, it gives you territory, it gives you a lot of things that you even mentioned. That one word, leverage, that was something that I really keyed on, leverage and ownership and control. So many things that God has us doing in our ministry and in our personal life that just need to be accelerated by these principles that you're sharing with us. I'm looking how we could combine some things and really see our financial goals and our targets and the things that we put before us to really come to pass. You have blessed me tonight. We want to open the lines up. If you have a question for Minister Rashad tonight, go ahead and dial 1. If you have something that just kind of corresponds, come on, get in the conversation. It's even though it's Man Up the Movement, you can talk Jesus, you can talk finances. But for that one person out there that just, I don't know how you got on this line, but you don't know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, and you heard something through finances that triggered it in you that you want to know more about Him, dial 1. We'll put you in our green room, talk to you one-on-one, and get you all the information you need. Dial 1 right now. James Hudson and show from look, James Hudson, my brother from Showtime Entertainment, Houston, Texas. You are live on Man Up the Movement with myself and Minister Rashad.
Man up, brother. If you don't have the finances together, you can't man up if you ain't got your finances together. that's the first lesson I already learned. That brother was just knocking it out the park, man. I said, oh my God. And I know he didn't go relicent on a brother. I'm like, whoa,
man,
Lord,
man,
hold up.
When he went there, I was like, oh my God.
You can do is just drop
it. It was the one right before Rent-A-Center. It was one before Rent-A-Center. They used to let you get gold ring. What was that place? It was in Michigan. I got to remember the name of that place. Oh, I went buck crazy in that place.
Yeah, man. I tell you, back in there, you said, man, if I only knew then what I know now, the money you done wasted and threw away and. Oh my God! You just have to drop your head and just say, "Well, look, we're living for another day." But I'm not gonna stay on this phone long because that brother, I know some people want to really ask him some questions. I was just talking with my daughter about that very same concept of saving money. And just last week, as a matter of fact, I just paid off my truck, and my daughter was like, "Dad, how you pay this truck off that fast?" I said, "I told you, I'm not going out there." Those people told me you can get anything off this lot you want to. That Mercedes and da 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 and all that other stuff out there. Go out there and go ahead and get it. That's what you want. You got the credit. You can do what you need to do. And I sat there and looked at those figures in that bottom. I said, "Let me see the bottom line on this. All that talking you doing. Let me just." I got up and walked right out of that place. I said, "You know what? I got $4,000 in the bank. I'm going to take it over here. I'm going to give it to this man over here. I want that car you got down the line. There's $8,000. I'm going to give you this $4,000, and I'm going to come pay you $500 every month." It took me about 6 months. I said, now they just gave me the title to it the other day. I said, "See, that's what I'm talking about right there." Now, I don't owe nobody nothing. It's mine. Both of them vehicles out there belong to me. I got the titles to them. I'm looking good. I'm feeling good. I ain't got to try to keep up with the Joneses. Like he was saying, I can put $300 a month now. I just keep putting it away. I can wait until I save up $10,000 and then go out there and buy me a $20,000 car. Because if you got that cash money, it's going to speak. I'm going to tell you. I know it has really spoke for me. If you got that cash money, it will definitely triple your assets, man. So that's Now, I was just sitting there. I said, I wish I could just run up there and get my daughter down here and let her listen to what he was saying, because I'm telling you, we all need to hear that. We really and truly do, and we need not only to hear it, we need to act on these things, because as he's saying, now that our parents and grandparents, they're passing down this property, and oh, my God, my mother, I don't know how they did it with a sixth-grade education, but, you know, bought houses and had businesses and all that. I said, man, how did they do that? And I can't even do it. I don't understand. You know, but I'm benefiting from that. But they were business-minded, and they were serious about what they're doing. They knew how to put that discipline that he's talking about. They knew how to put away that money every time they got paid on Friday. They were going to put away something in that cubbyhole, man, and they could always go back to it and go back. You open up that thing and say, well, good Lord, where all this money come from? Well, they've been putting that money away every week. They've been sticking it, and they ain't gonna touch it. They ain't thinking, like you saying. They enjoy just knowing it was there, and just knowing that it was there, in case there was a need or something that they had their mind made up. We gonna go up here to Goodwill and get this furniture, and then when we save this money, then we go buy brand new furniture. But we gonna live within our means. We're not gonna try to stress ourselves out.
What they call it? The cookie jar. I know my grandmother, she had a cookie jar with hundreds up in it.
Yeah.
And this was back in the day.
My old man kept his stuff underneath the house in a toolbox, man.
Oh, really?
I used to say, well, why you always going underneath the house? Is the pipes need fixing or something underneath there? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, my God.
Underneath the house. He said, ain't too many of y'all going to crawl underneath this house. So there you go. Yeah, bless you, brother. I know, like I said, times, but I will definitely be on here tomorrow, man, taking my notes, because that's some very, very powerful information. I hope that brother is blessed, and then just keep on giving it, because that's free information, man. Most people make you pay for this information we got tonight, so I just really appreciate that,
Before this broadcast is, because we're going to continue, because the recording is about to stop in 3 minutes.
Right.
This will be the last time. Me and Minister Rashad get together on an hour and a half broadcast. I'm gonna make it 3 hours. But I also want to say to all of our listeners out there, no matter what your business is, Titans can help you. They can show you some things on how to build a line of credit. They can help you to get financed. James Hudson and Showtime, Major Plays, financial connection right here. Oh my God! Thank you, Holy Spirit. That can produce and make those things happen and can show us how to get those fundings to really do it great. It's time for that reunion, for better, for worse.
Right.
I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, my God. But the finances are right here that we can really do something powerful by working together.
Right.
It's time for the body of Christ. I have to get this message out there for the people that are going to listen later in the archives. It's time for us to really team up and support each other's visions and work hard together to see them come to fruition. Not just to say I'm praying for you, but to also say it doesn't have to be money. It may be just you getting on the phone and reminding people or inviting people or doing whatever you can to help somebody you know that has a vision that can better them, that will better you. So it's going to take a group effort, and I'm crying out that we start to work together. I mean, James, we work together and people don't even know it. It doesn't matter,
right.
You know, but we help each other because we need help. You know, now, you know, Mr. Rashad is here sharing freely information to all of us that you can really change yourself and become, what do you say? You can have leverage. Oh, I love that. I love that I can have some leverage. Ownership. Ownership brings control. And when you got control, you got assets. So please help, support, and everything else. We got about 90 seconds. I want to bring in James. God bless you. I want to bring in Minister Terry. I know she had a couple of comments before the recording goes off. Good evening, Minister Terry.
Good evening. Good evening, family. Good evening, Pastor E, Minister Rashad. What an awesome finances. I tell you, this financial journal is just growing and growing, but such wealth of information you shared with us tonight, and the power of credit. There were some things, I tell you, that, you know, even being a part of the Titans Capital Partners family, Pastor E, I didn't know some of the things about the credit, but he shared so much of insight, and he said take each Saturday to remove something that shouldn't be on there. And like you said, 7 years, yes, that's in Deuteronomy 15:1. Holy Jesus.
Oh, well, that's all over the page. I've been posting it. I've been posting about 13 scriptures.
And you know what, too, Pastor E was saying, you know, the principles, the word of God and the principles of finances. And during that time, I was just looking, you know, and they work hand in hand. And I tell you, and I've had to, I have to study. I have to put in work for both. I have to put in work for both. But like you said, whatever you give your time to is what you become. So glory be to God. Awesome word. And Pastor E, I don't know if Minister Rashad, he has an event coming up, I believe. Minister Rashad?
Yes, ma'am.
You have an event coming up?
Yeah, that'll be at Cerritos College next Wednesday, the 18th at 11 a.m. I'll be speaking at that school over there, at that college over there. To the body over there, the staff members.
Yeah, right off of the 91 freeway.
Right.
Yeah.
On Studebaker. Yeah.
Yes, it is. I went. Amen. I did some time at Cerritos College in between my senior year. I know just where it's at, right there. God bless that. Now, that's at 11 a.m. on the 18th.
Yeah. And I might have said Cerritos College, but it's called Fremont College in Cerritos.
Correct.
I would hate for somebody to go to Cerritos College and they say, "Where's Rashad?" I haven't even heard of Rashad. It's Fremont College.
Okay. You know, and I know where that's at too.
Yeah.
But I would have walked up in Cerritos because I still know some of the teachers up out there. Were like, "Hey man, one of my partners is up here, man. Where's he at?" And he would be like, "What you talking about?" Fremont.
You know what,
Fremont. We're gonna get that address to everybody. We're going to get that
and
address.
And Minister Rashad, you two killed it with, what was that, Rent-A-Center and Fingerhood. Oh, my God. I was just
it was one before Rent-A-Center. It was a rent-to-own place before Rent-A-Center. That
wow.
They used to have jewelry. They used to have everything. I mean, it was right on point. I know it was really, really big up north. Especially in the Chicago, Michigan area, which I was working at that time, I went in there, it walked out of there with everything I thought I wanted or thought I needed.
And you wanted,
wanted and needed. And wow, did they one payment? They would be knocking on the door. You said that. Closing the blinds, like, wait a minute, what are they doing?
Yes. Amen.
So,
awesome.
We must be more conscious.
Amen. I'm stepping off, family. God bless you all. Love
you
all. Good night.
Good night.
God bless you.
Code 951, last 4-8682. You're live. I think this is Kim. Good evening, woman of God. Did you have a question for Minister Rashad? Okay, might have been muted out or just an accidental dial one. This has been dynamic. Anybody else, we'll give you a couple of minutes if you have a question. But this is going to continue, not only here on Man Up, but anytime we get an opportunity to allow the man of God to speak on our finances, I am up for it because I need help. I want help, and I want to help you. How can we do that? By getting it here on the airwaves as much as possible. Go ahead and give us any upcoming dates again, Minister Rashad, and any closing remarks you have for tonight. God bless you, man. Great information. I know I listened to the archive. This is like because I'm interacting at the same time I'm taking notes, but about 1 o'clock in the morning, I'll put those archives on and listen to this, and that's when it really – the gems and the nuggets come out. So I thank God for you, and I just want you to know that for every seed that you sow, the harvest is going to be abundant in your spiritual life like never before, man. It's awesome.
Amen. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. I receive that in the name of Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for sowing that into me. And I want the same back for you and all your listeners out there. And thank you, Pastor and Minister Terry, for sharing and also finding the word that I was looking for though, on the every 7 years. It's Deuteronomy 15:1,
yeah.
1 through 2. Deuteronomy 15:1-2. So every 7 years. So they know the law. They know the law. And so you need to lower it too, and so therefore it can be used to your benefit. But you have the power. Remember, you have the power. God has given it to you. You've been ordained with it. You've been born with it. It is yours, and this is yours. You can build whatever you want to be, whatever you want to have, and whatever you want to do. It's on you. It's on you, and the information is here, and the spiritual keys are right there in the Bible. You ain't got to go look far for it. It is right there. And if you just take your time to dissect it, you know, go back and read the abundance of Abraham. Go back and read the abundance of Joseph and just see their stories and see how they started off. None of them started off with the silver spoon in their mouth. And so if you don't have the silver spoon in your mouth, you're in good company. You're on your way. Okay, and so God has got the setup coming. He's got the scene played out for you. He's that Alpha and Omega. Nothing catches him by surprise. He knows your comings and your goings, and he knows that your hand is blessed, your mind is blessed, because he's in you and you are in him. And as long as you walk that walk, God is going to continue to do amazing things. Because one thing we can't forget, Pastor, God does supernatural things. See, sometimes we look for things to happen in the natural. There's going to be some supernatural things that happen that you can't even explain how it all came about, how it all happened, and how it all worked. But you know it was the hand, the mighty, mighty hand of God that moved it. The mighty hand. Behold and see the sound. Behold, behold, and watch what God does with supernatural blessings. Once you put your mind onto something, once you put your mind onto something and your spirit is into it, God will do some amazing things. So don't worry about all the how-to. You just continue to take the steps and know that you have the power over everything that you're facing, everything that you're dealing with, and God is more than able, more than able. Because whatever challenge you have, God is bigger than it. Whatever problem or challenge that comes to mind, I know God is bigger than it. As long as me and God are bigger than it, I know that we can overcome it. Overcome it. Amen.
Oh, man. God bless you, bro. It has been an awesome evening. God bless you, family. We love you. Join us tomorrow night for the Now Network News, 6, 8, and 9 p.m. Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.